Jovan Buha! Buha!
Yo, yo! I'm Jovan Buha, NBA reporter and analyst for Buha's Block, and welcome to another episode. The Lakers schedule is officially out, and I'm here to break down all of it. Want to go through some notable notes, including the Lakers back-to-backs, how many nationally televised games they have, as well as the toughest stretches, the easiest stretches, the NBA Cup games, the Grammy trip, all of that and more. Before we get into it, you guys know the drill. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. It would mean a ton if you considered subscribing. On the road to 40,000 subscribers by the end of the offseason. And for those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a five-star review. Let's get into the Lakers schedule. I want to start with what I tweeted in terms of what you need to know about the schedule. The Lakers have 14 back-to-backs this season, 34 nationally televised games, which is tied with the New York Knicks, San Antonio Spurs, and Philadelphia 76ers for the most nationally televised games. So despite LA not playing on opening night for the first time since the 2018-19 season, the Lakers are nationally relevant. They remain one of the biggest draws in the league, if not arguably the biggest draw in the league. And those who have written them off because LeBron left is premature. The Lakers are still relevant. They are still very much in the discourse, as we see reflected by the maximum 34 nationally televised games. Their first 10 games of the season, I think this is always an important stretch to set the tone for the season. The Lakers, up until this past season, have had really difficult starts to the season. I think this past year plus this year, things have eased up a bit, and I think that will help them get off on the right foot. And so this year, they host the Warriors to start the season. Then they host the Clippers. Then they go at Utah, home versus Portland, at the Clippers, at Golden State, home versus Toronto, home versus Miami, at Sacramento, and home versus Portland. That is a relatively easy start to the season, with the exception of, like, I think Utah and Portland and Golden State will all be in that play-in mix. And so those aren't guaranteed wins, but those are winnable games that the Lakers should be favored in. A look at Toronto and Miami, both home games for the Lakers, as the two toughest games on the schedule. And that's assuming that Toronto is able to eventually acquire Kawhi Leonard. I think that will make them one of the top four or five teams in the East. And then Miami with Giannis, with Bam, that's going to be a difficult game. But I mean, I see 7-3 or 8-2 as realistic here for the Lakers in terms of their first 10 games, similar to last season, and them starting off maybe even 12-3 or 11-4 and just building a lot of momentum early, which will pay dividends later when the schedule gets a lot tougher. In terms of the longest road trip of the season, that is the Grammy trip from January 28th through February 8th. The Lakers play at Indiana, at New York, at Charlotte, at Boston, at Brooklyn, and actually close back on the West Coast at San Antonio and then at Phoenix. So typically you see a longer trip out east. You might even see another Southeastern team thrown in there toward the end of it, or maybe it's a Memphis or a New Orleans, one of the Southeast Western teams, but they do go from Brooklyn to San Antonio. That's going to be an interesting leg of the trip. And so five games out east and then two games out west, but that's a seven game trip. That's always the toughest stretch of the season. And on top of that, the game that precedes the Grammy road trip is a home matchup with the Oklahoma City Thunder. They got a day off, then they're in Indiana. So that is you throw the OKC game, I think that's clearly the toughest stretch of the season, with OKC into a seven game road trip. In terms of longest homestand, they have three separate five game homestands throughout the season. Not going to list out each of those games. And then the most interesting thing with their schedule is there are four teams that each team in each conference only plays three times, right? So you play 10 of the 14 other teams in your conference four times. You play four of those teams only three times. And you play the other teams in the other conference twice. Two of the four teams that the Lakers are only playing three times this season are Oklahoma City and San Antonio. Now, technically, that could change with the NBA Cup. We only know 80 of the 82 games, but that's notable to me because those are clearly the two best teams in the West and arguably in the league. And the Lakers only play them three times rather than four, which those games will, of course, matter. And that the season series will be really important against both of those teams. But not having that extra game against those two teams could matter if the Lakers are jockeying for the three seed or four seed or five seed. So, of course, you want as many games against the best competition as possible. But in terms of strength of schedule, looking at the Lakers schedule the middle of August for what it's worth and what we can gauge in terms of LA's opponents up to this point, OKC and San Antonio, only three games against each of those. That's a combined six games instead of a potential eight games against those two opponents. I think that the Lakers are catching a break there. And so that is something worth noting. Otherwise, like to me, I mean, I said this last year, for those who remember the show I did with the 2025-26 schedule, the two games I circled were that mid-November game against the Thunder and then in OKC, and then the early April game against OKC back in LA. And that was coming off of them having just played against OKC in OKC. And I said, those two to me were the most important games of the season. That first one, it was going to be a nice barometer for the Lakers to see how they match up against the defending champs at the time and the best team in the league. And then late in the season, are they jockeying for position? How have they fared against OKC up to this point of the season? And like those two to me were by far the most important games, more important than opening night, more important than Christmas, more important than the Grammy trip, more important than any other games you could circle on the calendar. And I think in hindsight, I was right. And we saw like the Lakers had the nice start to the season. Then they were quickly humbled in OKC. And it was like, all right, there's levels to this. The Lakers are not close to OKC's level. And then we saw it once again late in the season. Technically, it was the game in OKC, not the game in LA. But the Lakers have that incredible stretch, go 16-1 from late February through the end of March. And they play the Thunder and they are quickly humbled. And that game is over once again. That game was over 3 minutes into the game with the Lakers down. I think it was like 18-4 or something like that. They once again get humbled. And then, of course, later in the game, both Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves get injured. They miss the rest of the regular season. Luka doesn't return. Austin returns late in that Houston series. But that was effectively the end of the Lakers season in terms of being a contender, having any shot of winning the Western Conference. And that was a reminder at the time, like, hey, they're not close to OKC's level. So I think looking at this year, what's interesting with the schedule is not only do they only play OKC and San Antonio three times each, but the first matchup, like they play San Antonio at San Antonio on November 27th. That's Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving. That's 19 games into the season. So the first 18 games, they don't play either OKC or San Antonio. After that, the next time they play either one of these teams is January 26th, that game right before the Grammy trip. They play OKC. That's the 48th game of the season. So they go first 18 games, not playing those teams. Then they have a 30-game gap. Then they play OKC after playing San Antonio. And technically, they could play either one of them in the NBA Cup. So there's a chance here that they play an extra game. They play San Antonio four times. They play OKC four times. But with the schedule that we know right now, there's a 30-game gap, that middle portion from late November through late January, where they don't play either of the teams. And so I'm looking at that matchup with San Antonio right after Thanksgiving. It's in San Antonio. And that to me is going to be a big game because it's an NBA Cup game. It's their last NBA Cup game. And so that very well could determine who wins their group, which will have implications in terms of if LA advances or where they are in terms of advancing, if they're playing on the road or at home. And so that's a huge game for a number of reasons. Like technically, the West goes through San Antonio, not OKC. I still think OKC, when healthy, is the best team in the NBA and is better than San Antonio. But San Antonio, defending Western Conference champions, West goes through them. So that, to me, is going to be a huge game for the Lakers in terms of just, like, that's a measuring stick game. That is the measuring stick game of the first month plus of the season, is how do they stack up against San Antonio. Then I will go late into the season, where the Lakers play, they have a five-game road trip where they close out at OKC. The last game of a road trip is always really difficult, especially you look at this trip. They go Miami, Cleveland, Houston, Memphis, OKC. They are in that middle part of the country for most of the time, but going Miami, Cleveland, Houston, Memphis, OKC, you are doing a lot of travel there, especially that Miami to Cleveland to Houston part of it. So like that is going to be a difficult trip with the exception of Memphis. All those teams project to be really good. So like that's a tough road trip. You close it out at OKC, you come back, then you host San Antonio 3 days later. So those two games are going to be massive in terms of how do the Lakers stack up against the two best teams in the league. Two teams I think will be at least high 50s, if not realistically 60 plus win teams. The most likely top two seeds in the West and potentially even overall across the league. Like how do the Lakers stack up against them? Can they go into OKC, have a competitive showing, potentially even win that game? Can they beat the Spurs at home with potential playoff seeding on the line? So if I had to circle three games this season to really focus in on in terms of just a snapshot of where the Lakers are at, last year it was that, you know, the two OKC games. This year I'm going to say that San Antonio game. It's a massive game with the end of the NBA Cup group play, plus just the first month of the season, wrapping that up, and then end of the season, closing out a big road trip in OKC, coming home and playing the Spurs. Those three games to me are the games. Like all six of these games to me matter far more than anything else because OKC and San Antonio are not going anywhere. Those are the two teams standing in the Lakers' way for the foreseeable future. I would say at least the next three seasons, if not longer. I just view that as like those six games to me matter far more than almost anything else, because that to me will be the measuring stick of how does LA match up with the top of the West, the top of the league. And even if the Lakers are say like the 5 or 6 seed, but they go 3-3 or 4-2 in those six games, that will give me a certain level of optimism. Whereas if they go 55-27, but they go 1-5 or 0-6 or even 2-4 against those two teams, it's nice that they're maybe the 3 seed at that point. But if you're 1-5 against those two teams, it kind of doesn't matter because you're probably going to lose or almost certainly will lose in round two against those two. So I just think those games really matter. And then to wrap things up, I want to touch on the two games that had already been announced before the schedule, because I know there'd been a lot of discussion about both of them. First opening night against the Warriors, the Lakers for the first time since 2018, were not on the NBA's official opening night. They are on the opening week schedule. They have national appearance on ESPN hosting the Warriors, but they're not on the opening night. There's only two Western Conference teams and it's the Thunder and Spurs. And if we're talking about like the best possible matchup and the two best teams, that's the right matchup. Like those are the two best teams again in the West and arguably the NBA. With the Lakers being matched up with the Warriors, I know some people were a little frustrated with that. I understand that. I feel like the league has been really pushing the Lakers-Warriors rivalry with them having multiple opening nights, multiple Christmases. I think a big part of that was the LeBron-Steph Curry history and their battles through the 2010s with the Warriors and the Cavs. And they had the play-in matchup, and they've had some really interesting games. They had the 2023 series as well. So like there has been some bad blood or you know, a little bit of tension during the 2020s between the Lakers and the Warriors. The Warriors were after LeBron James multiple times. And so like they've been circling one another to some degree. They both won championships, Lakers in 2020, Warriors in 2022. So I get it. You have the Northern California versus Southern California dynamic, but this does feel like a rivalry that they are still trying to force despite LeBron not being there anymore. And there no longer being that history between LeBron and Steph, at least in this matchup. It's obviously now between the Warriors and the Sixers. With that said, though, the Lakers and the Warriors are two of the biggest draws in the league. And from a ratings perspective, when you have Luka and the Lakers and Steph and the Warriors, that's just going to be box office. That's going to be must-see TV. So I get it from, like, I would personally have rather seen Lakers Thunder, Lakers Spurs, Lakers Nuggets, Lakers Timberwolves, Lakers Rockets have the first-round series rematch to start the season for the Lakers, give Houston a nice little test. Hey, go back to LA and try to exact revenge against the team that upset you in round one.
I would have preferred any of those matchups rather than Lakers Warriors. I mean, you could even talk me into Lakers Jazz with the Walker Kessler trade, and just like, I would have preferred almost any other outcome than Lakers Warriors. But from a ratings perspective, from a just general fan intrigue perspective, I think Lakers Warriors still holds weight with the national audience, the general audience. And I understand from a marketing perspective why they're going to market this as Luka, Steph, and the second straight season that the Lakers are hosting the Warriors. Even if I think we all agree that there's no rivalry here, this has been stretched out a little too long, and we'd like the league to collectively move forward without trying to shove Lakers Warriors in our face constantly. Then as for Christmas, no surprise here. I know people were, again, throwing out different versions of what they thought the Christmas matchup might be. I always thought it was going to be Lakers Sixers and thought that that made the most sense. And this to me is shades of Shaq returning in 2004 with the Heat. And just like, this is going to be the first matchup between the Lakers and Sixers. First time LeBron is playing the Lakers. First time he's returning to LA, obviously. And the drama, the theater with this game is going to be incredible. This is going to be one of the biggest games of the season. And just, I mean, talk about like the camera work with the pregame circle toss and LeBron doing the chalk toss, but then LeBron walking onto the floor, and it's going to be, does he dap up Luka? Does he dap up Austin? Remember with Kobe and Shaq, they didn't dap up before the game, and that was a national storyline. Like, this is going to be like that, right? Like there's no breakup to the level of Shaq and Kobe with this dynamic, but it is going to be like Shaq returns as a member of the Heat, and there's just all this anticipation, all this excitement for that game. I think it's gonna be a similar thing with LeBron. And does he get booed? Does he not get booed? How does he perform? Do the Sixers win? Do the Sixers send a message to the Lakers that LeBron made the right choice? Or do the Lakers win? And then the narratives coming out of the game will be that the Lakers don't miss LeBron, or that he made the wrong decision, or whatever, or the Lakers made the right decision. Like, you know, the narratives, it's going to be a narrative buffet coming out of Lakers Sixers. But that to me always made the most sense. Again, there had been, are the Sixers going to play the Knicks? Are they going to play the Celtics? No, they're going to play the Lakers, because that is the biggest possible matchup in terms of narratives and intrigue. And that is the game of the season. Like, I know I'm saying Lakers Thunder, Lakers Spurs, but of course, everyone is going to be watching Lakers Sixers, and that is the biggest game of the slate, in my opinion, even bigger than the rematch between the Spurs and the Knicks, just because of the history now with LeBron and how things ended, and even the recent report from ESPN that potentially had this sale gone through before LeBron's decision, that maybe he would have still been a Laker. And like, I'm sure there will be tons of things that come out between now and then. Things that come out that week leading into that game, which is on a Friday. Christmas is on a Friday this year. So it's just going to be a ton with that game. And I cannot wait for that one. But that'll do it for today's show. Still on vacation, so back to the regularly scheduled programming after this. I have a bunch of player profiles coming out over the next 2.5 weeks. Walker Kessler, Quentin Grimes, Colin Sexton, Matisse Thybul, and Zaire Williams, talking to reporters who have covered those players in person, at games, in the locker room, analysts, etc., that know these players. So those will be coming out over the next 2.5 weeks. Barring anything crazy happening, I will not be recording any more videos on this trip. But of course, that means something else will happen, and I will have to make it up to my wife. But I appreciate you guys. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back soon. I'll talk to you then.